David, what is Aquila Diagnostic Systems?
Aquila Diagnostics, or Aquila as we call it, is a life sciences company that was established to commercialize technology developed at the University of Alberta by a number of researchers in the medical world and in the engineering world.
Would you call this nanotechnology?
This is sort of in the micro-nano area. Clearly, we're working with DNA, which is obviously very small and in the nano world. And we also are using a lot of conventional electronics, using microfabrication facilities on campus. So it really captures a lot of the different technologies that are emerged over the last 10 years.
Now, 10 years, I can remember doing an interview way back in 2001 with your two chief researchers, and it seems like it's been a long time coming trying to get the technology that you're working on to market. What is the history of the technology and the company?
Well, the technology emerged probably in the early 2000 period, and it was in those days called lab-on-chip, and that has still remains the name of the technology in general sense, but it's really changed a lot in the detail of it. It was thought to be, how do we get conventional lab tests out of the lab, lower their costs, take them out to the field, and to make them more available in a lot more situations. The genesis of this technology was, in fact, a cancer scientist named Dr. Linda Pilarski, who's working out of the Cross Cancer Institute and the University of Alberta, and an electrical engineer named Chris Backhouse. Linda is still on campus working on this technology. Chris Backhouse, in fact, a couple years ago moved on to Waterloo, where he has continued to work in the micro-nano area. A different group of people joined up with Linda over the last 3 or 4 years. One of them, a scientist from Canadian Blood Services named Dr. Jason Acker, who is a co-founder of the company. Another researcher named Dr. Stephanie Yano, who is with the School of Public Health in the provincial lab. There's also been some engineers and other scientists who've joined on. It was clearly sort of a multidisciplinary team that has pulled this together.
And definitely the continuity has been Linda Pilarski as the researcher and yourself, because you used to be across the hall from me.
That's right. And I was involved sort of helping put together the research consortium with the facilities, putting together the funding. We, in fact, had another company called iLock that started in the mid-2000s, 2006 or 7, that took a predecessor sort of technology suite, brought it along to the market, and it didn't quite work. It didn't quite produce as we had hoped, and in fact, we wound down that company. Waited a year or so until some of the technical problems were ironed out, and that's when we started Aquila Diagnostics. I think it was in about 4 years ago in 2009. And that was partly an issue of getting to some materials that would work for the biological processes that we use. That was also a matter of getting the electronics to work. A whole bunch of things came together. A couple patents, new patents emerged, which we have licensed into the company. And basically what we've done is changed the sort of mechanics of lab on chip, which meant back in the day moving fluids around a tiny piece of glass in channels, pumping them, having valving. We changed, I won't say we, the scientists came up with the idea of making that more of a static thing, not pumping fluids around a chip, but in fact, putting the sample onto the chip, and then other ways to manipulate the temperature, which were off the chip. For instance, we have a heater that's off the chip. It used to be on the chip. We used to have pumps and valves. We don't use pumps and valves. But it is still a lab reaction occurring on a very small chip. We've moved to plastics from glass, as I mentioned, and plastics, part of the reason we're using the plastic is they're very inexpensive to produce. If you can produce them in an injection molder, you can crank them out for pennies, whereas a piece of glass to process it, to etch it, is actually quite expensive. So the idea is to come up with a solution that's going to be low cost, and that's one of the reasons we went to plastic.
Can you explain what it looks like? The one you're holding in your hand is very small. It's not much more than just a couple of centimeters.
Yeah, it's a couple of centimeters or 2 centimeters by 3 centimeters approximately, and there's two pieces. One piece is simply the top, and the second piece is a bottom where there's a channel, and we fill that channel up with our magic solution. It's called a hydrogel, and that includes all of the constituents you need to do the biological reaction. And then we clamp the two together, and then we inject in a blood sample or a tissue sample, and then we put it into a toaster-sized device, and through something called PCR, polymerase chain reaction, heat and cool it 30 to 40 times. In an hour or so, you can find out whether that target, and that's a biological target, for instance, if you had malaria, it could sense whether the malaria pathogen was in your blood. So that's what it's looking for, is the existence of a pathogen or this genetic signature, very specific genetic signature for the pathogen in your system. We're using the same thing in the livestock industry as well to look for viruses that are in cattle or in the pork industry too.
Now, this started off as a chip that could help in testing for cancer, but you're talking now about livestock. How has that evolution been? What's taken you into the agriculture side of things?
Well, I guess we started off with cancer because that was Linda Pilarski's interest as a cancer scientist, cancer researcher, and there are applications in cancer, and we still think we will go back to that. We have some proposals looking around, and one of them is to look at toxicity of various breast cancer drugs and how patients react to them, and we're still got some research going on that. What we found, and I guess more on the company side, was we helped the researchers pull this technology together. We all had certain ideas on where it should go, and cancer was one of them and still one of them. But we had what we call in the business world a pull from the market. We had people, researchers and companies that are in the livestock industry said, could this technology help us? Here's our problem. We had that happen first with people working in the what they call porcine virus detection in the swine industry. Viruses that are endemic all around the world in pig farms, and they're trying to get rid of them, obviously, because it's a productivity issue. It's for all host of reasons. And the same thing with feedlots. There's a big feedlot in southern Alberta that heard about us. We worked with them. We're working on developing a chip for the detection of bovine respiratory diseases, which is another big, big problem. So there's two areas where people have come to us. And the malaria area is another one where we have followed quite strongly in human health, and we're working with our partner, Dr. Stephanie Yano, and that's her area. And she's got some funding already from the Grand Challenges Canada program to test our concept, and it seems it works well. We're going to another phase, which would involve putting multiple tests on this chip and then taking it out in the field and doing a big field trial, and that's the lead, I guess, application on the human side. And as I mentioned, we've got another lead application or two on the livestock side. So it's kind of market pull. We can't really prejudge what's going to help people. We're not the users of the technology. We're the developers. We have another people have approached us to do water testing in Alberta, looking at blue-green algae. That's another interesting application. But from a business standpoint, you do need to find application where there's going to be a volume of business you can do. You can't. It's very hard to justify developing a chip for a, you know, when there's only a few cases a year, for instance. So you need something with, you know, higher numbers to justify an investment.
Do you have any time frame as when you might actually be on the market with this?
Well, right now we have chips and we call them boxes, instruments that we are using and developed that work pretty well. And we've got some collaborators using them and buying our chips this year. But we hope to have our complete product development finished in about 12 months' time. So that's a new variation of this chip and an instrument that we can take out of the lab, but right now it is a lab instrument, and take it out to the field, which means it needs an enclosure, a tough enclosure. It needs to be portable and have a standalone power system and all sorts of engineering that we have to do. Both of those we think is sort of a 9 to 12 month process.
This has already been like more than a decade in the making, and you've stuck with it. What lessons have you learned from this?
Well, I guess the story is not over yet, but patience and persistence, and you know, it may well not work, but until you take it out and really try to get something, I guess one of the things we learned the last time was to get it to work in the lab is one thing. To get it working once or twice is a step forward, an important one. But to get it to work 100 times in a row or 999 times out of 1,000 is a whole different kettle of fish. You really have to do so much optimizing and tweaking of the systems to get them to work consistently. And so that's what we've been doing the last year. And our system right now works really well. But to get it to work really well, just is refinement, optimization, the engineering. So it's all time and money. And as a small company, that's a very difficult thing to put together the money and find the time before you have revenue. And that's the challenge as a smaller business, at least in Alberta, in the bio world, where it just takes some time to get to market. You can't just develop it and sell it the next month by any means.
Lab on a chip technology, there's other people who are working on that as well. Do you see this as being competition?
Yeah, there's quite a few companies out there, and many of them are working on what we call point of care, which is to develop an instrument and a chip to work outside the big labs. The big labs are doing this, but on conventional size equipment, and it's expensive equipment, but they get the high volumes, and so their costs are quite low. So the challenge is to develop a system where you can match or beat their costs, and you've got then time on your side, because you give a solution to a farmer or someone out in the field within an hour rather than doing an overnight or 3 or 4 day turnaround.
So if you had to sum it up then, what is it that makes yours different from what others are working on?
What makes ours different is that because of the chip, which I mentioned, there's 10 slots on that chip. So you can in fact do 10 different tests on this chip. So that would be 10 samples, or it could be 10 targets. So that's what's unique about ours. And my partner, Jason Acker, is an expert in blood and in drying and preserving blood. So in the end, we ended up drying down all the constituents to do this process. And in doing that, it means you don't have to refrigerate it, you don't have to worry about samples going bad, and you've got a big advantage in terms of not having to prepare your sample beforehand going onto the system. In fact, the sample itself provides the liquid to do the reaction. So that's probably our big advantage right now.
And is this something that once it is commercialized will be staying in Alberta in terms of manufacture?
We can build these now in Alberta in our lab. We've got a company in Australia that's helping us develop the technology and the molding, but we can bring that molding back to Alberta and have it done by a local injection molder and then set up a facility to load these chips. But clearly the development, the science is all here, and it'll stay here because that's where we're from.
Who has supported you along the way?
We've got a lot of support, and it's a tough thing to do in Alberta is to put together a tech company in the bio side. But we've got a lot of help from the university itself and researchers. Obviously, Linda Pilarski is central to the whole development of the technology. Dr. Jason Acker, same thing. We got support from the Alberta Innovation System through Alberta Innovates Technology Solutions. Alberta Innovates Health Solutions provided the funding for the research group. We've also got help from the National Research Council. And we as a business have also raised some money privately. We've put in a lot of time and money ourselves, and we have some local investors who've helped us, and we need to build on that to take the company to the next level.
The name of the company now is Aquila. Why Aquila?
Why Aquila? Because it's very hard to find a unique name for a company, and we brainstormed for a long time. And we started with birds of prey and birds, and none of them were available. And it turns out Aquila is Spanish for eagle, and we sort of like that. And I don't know, it just happened, and we kind of like the name. But it wasn't because there wasn't other options. They're all taken. Just same with websites and things like that. It's really hard to find a unique handle.
So why do you stick with it?
It's a challenge. It's the biggest challenge I've ever had professionally. The idea of having a technology that can help people and can change the way medical care is given or animal care is provided is pretty exciting. And we're not there yet, but it's getting close, so it's very exciting times for us.
Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome.